Namam 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 Namam
Namam Namam Namam Namam Namam Namam Namam Namam Namam Namam Namam. Not becoming lost in my greed, anger, Suraka na Hotoke sama no yo ni.
Namam Babutsu, Namam Babutsu.
Continuing our exploration of this Our Pledge, which was composed by the Gomonshu, the leader of our Buddhist school, who lives in Kyoto, Japan. And today I wanted to talk about compassion. Compassion is a big word that we use a lot here at the temple. What does compassion mean to you? When you hear the word compassion, what does that mean? What does that mean to you, Cameron? To have deep affection on someone? That's a good answer. Yeah, anyone else have an idea of what compassion is all about to them? No, it's a little bit of a kind of an abstract word. We don't always just think, oh, that's of people like Shinran Shonin, people like the Buddha, who provide us with an explanation and some clear ways to understand some of these words, words like compassion. So Shinran Shonin, he points us to the writings of someone by the name of Tanluan. So Shinran Shonin's picture is here, just to the right of the Buddha. His portrait is hanging right here. And then all the way over on the left, can you see all the way over on the left, there's a scroll hanging that has seven little pictures. Those are seven little portraits. Can everyone see those little portraits? Yeah. Do you see the second row? There's one, there's two in the first top row, then one in the second row, then two in the third row, and two in the fourth row, right? Do you see the one where there's just one row kind of there in the middle? That one's, he's from China. His name is Tanluan. And Tanluan, he said that there are two aspects, two things about compassion. And when you write compassion in Japanese, so our Buddhism comes from China and Japan. So when you write it in Chinese or Japanese, it's made up of two Chinese characters, two words, ji-hi. And so he says that this word ji means to take away hurt, to take away hurt. Has anybody ever had a situation or an experience in your life where you were hurting or something hurt and someone helped you to feel better? Has anyone had an experience like that in your life? Can you think of one? Yeah? Can anyone share one with me? The time when something didn't feel good and then someone did something for you and that made you feel better? Have you ever had an experience like that? No? No? I have. I have. I can think of one time I had a very bad backache. My back hurt really badly. And I went to the doctor and the doctor gave me a shot. Now, normally when you think you get a shot, you think it's going to make you feel worse. But this shot made me feel better. And this doctor was very interesting because he said, what do you do for a job? I said, I'm a Buddhist priest. And he said, oh, the master of the Buddhist temple. And he said, okay, master, we got to get you fixed up so you can go back to lead the people, right? And he gave me a shot and he had great compassion. He made me feel better. So that's one part of compassion is if somebody's hurting, you can do something that makes them feel better, okay? There's another thing, another part of compassion is to give happiness. Has anybody ever done something for you that made you? Oh, a very nice holiday card. That's very nice. That's something you can do that can bring a smile to someone's face and give them happiness, right? So there's these two parts of being and to give happiness. So this past week on Wednesday, we had a very interesting speaker who came and spoke here at the temple because he goes to jail. Then he leaves jail. He's forced to go there, but he goes there to help people, to be nice to them, to show compassion for them. So he meets with wrong, or maybe if people think you did something wrong and you get arrested by the police, then you have to go see a judge, right? And a judge and maybe a jury and people to figure out if you actually did what they said you did. And so while these people are waiting to meet with the judge, they have to stay in this jail. It's in Santa Clara, the Santa Clara main jail. And Wesley goes and he meets with these people. Anybody who wants to talk to a Buddhist can go and they can sign up and Wesley will go and he'll talk to them and meet with them. And he talks about people. And he says, many of these people made very bad mistakes. And they'll probably wind up having to spend a long time in jail. And he said that when he meets with these people, they're often very, very worried. They're very worried because they spend a lot of time thinking about the things that they did, the mistakes that they made, maybe the ways that they hurt other people. And they think about this over and over and over. Have you ever done something that you wish you hadn't done? Anybody ever done something and you wish you hadn't done that? Right. Well, these, and then when they don't think about the past and what they had done, they think about the future. And what do you, how do you think they feel about the future as they're waiting to go see the judge? They're worried, right? They're worried, what's going to happen to me? Are they going to send me away to jail for a long, long time? So they're very worried about the future. They have lots of feelings of regret about the past. I wish I hadn't done that. Oh no, what's going to happen to me? I wish I hadn't done that. Oh no, what's going to happen to me? And he says they go into this kind of circle around and around, worrying and feeling bad about what. He leads a little group and they get together and he tells them at the beginning of the meeting, he says, I guarantee at the end of this meeting that you will feel relaxed. You will feel relaxed. And so I wanted to share this with you because I think these days there's a lot going on and sometimes we feel kind of stressed out, right? I know I do. And so I thought I could share this little technique that Wesley shared with us and that we could all try this together. So first, I want to, before we do this, we'll do this sitting down, but first I want everybody to stand up. So stand up. Stand up. We'll do this a little bit differently than Wesley did this. And I want you to start out by reaching up as high as you can. Reach up and see if you can touch the ceiling, okay? As high as you can, okay? Then bring your hands down to your sides, and I want you to turn around, and this time turn to the right side, and turn all the way around and see if you can see the back, okay? And then come back and turn all the way around the other way and see if you can see the back, okay? And now I want you to take your hands and shake them down at your sides. Okay, and then shake them out at your sides. And then shake them up at the top. Okay, and then back down. Yeah, how do you feel? Feel good? You feel like your blood's flowing a little bit? Okay, so now I'm going to ask you to sit back down. Sit back down. And I want you to, now just, you're all sitting in the pews. So just pick a spot on the pew in front of you. Look in front of you. And maybe the little ledge, that little edge of the pew, if you're in the front row, maybe you can pick a spot on the carpet in front of you. But just that edge in front of you on the pew. And I want you to look on that. And I want you to breathe in through your nose and breathe out through your mouth, okay? Nice deep breath in. Nice deep breath out. Nice deep breath in. Say to yourself, I'm breathing in, I'm breathing, but this time when we breathe in, say deep and long. And when you breathe out, say slow and smooth. And do that 5 times, deep and long, slow and smooth. Deep and long, slow and smooth. Calm, breathing in, calm. Breathing out, let it go. Breathing in, calm. Breathing out, let it go. Do this 5 times. Calm in, let it go out. Okay, and for the last part, breathe in, say this moment. Breathing out, wonderful moment. This moment. Breathing out, wonderful moment. this moment. Wonderful moment. Okay, now I'd like everyone to put your hands together in Gassho. And all together, we're going to say, Om. Okay, one, two, three. Om. Okay, now look around the room. Look around. Take one last nice deep breath. How's everybody feel? Relaxed? You feel good? You feel strange? Maybe it's because you're not always relaxed. And so to be relaxed, maybe feels a little bit strange. You're not used to it. Maybe. And so this is something that Wesley does with these people who are in jail. And, you know, it's very interesting. And he talks about how these the inmates tell him how much this helps them. Because sometimes they have to stay in their cell. Their cell is just like a little room that they have to stay in. And sometimes they have to stay in this room all day long, maybe for several days in a row. They have to stay in their same room. They maybe only get to go out maybe once a day, if that. And so when they're stuck in their little rooms, he says that they use this practice to calm themselves down, to calm their minds. And they feel that when they do this, it helps them to make good use of that time because they're calming their minds and they're also thinking about their lives, thinking about maybe how they could live differently from now on. And he says that the inmates, they write him letters. They write Wesley letters thanking him for his work, for coming to visit them. And one of them even says, whenever I do this practice, whenever I meditate like this, I hear your voice in my head. Right? Even I hear Wesley's voice, and he's a very calm voice. That's one of the things I told him as after his talk. I said, you have such a calm voice. Now, Wesley is a very interesting person. He's a longtime student of the Nembutsu and the Jodo Shinshu Buddhist tradition. I first got to know him many years ago when he was a student in the Jodo Shinshu correspondence course. It's an online, kind of like a school online, where you write essays on the computer and you email them to a teacher, and then that teacher reads them and writes back. It's kind of like writing emails back and forth, but about Buddhism. And so I was one of the teachers who was working with Wesley. And, you know, he's a longtime student of this Nembutsu Jodo Shinshu tradition. And for me, Wesley and his work really expresses this heart of the Buddha. It talks about in the pledge that we read to be compassionate, just like the Buddha, to try to be like the compassionate Buddha. And I feel like Wesley, hearing the Nembutsu, this practice we have of saying Namu Amida Butsu, has changed his mind so that he's able to ideal of compassion. This ideal of compassion in their hearts, they feel bad about the things that they did. They feel worried about what's going to happen to them. And when they do this practice that he introduced, they're able to just enjoy their present moment. Just enjoy that moment. Let go of worries about the past, their worries about the past, or their worries about the future. Let go of their regrets from the past. And he also gives them happiness, gives them peace of mind, because he helps them to appreciate this moment of our lives, this very moment that we're living in right now. This is a precious gift. He says, this moment, wonderful moment. And they even become free of these thoughts that cause stress for themselves and maybe their way of thinking that's caused harm for other people. And Shinran and Tamon, they say, this is one of the most important parts of compassion, is to be free of thoughts that cause harm for others or that don't give people peace of mind. So first, Wesley, through hearing this teaching of the Buddha, through hearing the Nembutsu, our practice of saying Namu Amida Butsu, which we did already many times this morning, to say Namu Amida Butsu is to say, I take refuge in the Buddha. So Wesley's been doing this Nembutsu, listening for many, many years of his life. And so when he had this opportunity, compassionate. So Wesley's been doing this Nembutsu, listening for many, many years of his life. And so when he had this opportunity to go and work in the jails, he took the opportunity. Now, many of us, myself included, might say, ooh, I don't know if I want to do that. Those people in the jail, they must have done some scary things, right? So we're afraid of them. We think, oh, they're not people like me. And so we kind of define. See, he shared an essay before he was trained. In the essay that he shares, it's a Vietnamese Buddhist, and he says that when he was first in jail, he said, I was stricken with guilt and shame about my actions that I did not want to believe was me who had done such a horrendous act. He didn't want to believe that he had done something so bad that he wound up in jail. He says, I was a lost human being, and in this state of despair, I searched for answers beyond myself. So he said, there must be something outside of me that can help me to live a good life. And so when they encounter the compassion of the Buddha, then their perspective begins to change. And this person talks about how he encountered this when he first met Wesley. He said, my first encounter with the Buddha's teachings came from an elderly Japanese man. Now, Wesley is in his 70s, so the Buddha's teachings came from an elderly Japanese man that worked as a chaplain. I remember making the request to see him and waiting for his arrival. When I had first seen him, he moved with grace and exuded an aura of peace and warmth. He greeted me by placing his palms together and bowed with the words, Ayidafa, which means Amida Butsu in Vietnamese. My childhood memories came flooding back into view. In that short moment, this stranger had created a bond with me without even knowing it. Wesley, it's very interesting, an appreciation. It tells someone, when you do this gassho, it tells someone, I'm happy to see you. He says these simple words. We would say Amida Butsu. He says Ayidafat. In Chinese, someone might say Amitofu. This is a common greeting among Buddhists. When they say this, we remember, we hear the name of the Buddha. We feel the comfort. You know, for him, the best thing that happened to him happened while in jail. Change is a fact of life. To accept change as a fact of life that I make every day when I'm unable to let go of my attachments and to accept things as they are. My experience with the Buddha's teaching causes stress and suffering. I wish it hadn't been different. I wish it would be different in the future. But no, just to return to this moment, this precious moment, hearing the words of the Buddha. So the way that this inmate sees Wesley, he sees him as his spiritual mentor. He describes him as a mentor. But Wesley, after his talk, he said, you know, I'm no sensei. I don't know how to even give a Dharma talk. He said, I just do what I can for these guys. So he has this simple, open mind. So he hears the Buddha's compassion, and Wesley has found great comfort in the Dharma. He just tries to share that simply with others. This is the way of living in the Nembutsu. So he's free of these thoughts that don't bring peace to others. He's free of his discrimination, his judging of other people. And he helps the inmates realize that same open and free mind. Just living as Wesley is, just living as he is, he brings others to encounter the power of the Buddha's compassion, that power to change lives. So to me, Wesley shows us how to live in the Nembutsu in these very chaotic and stressful times. And I hope that I too, like Wesley, and like this inmate who he was, this moment, wonderful moment.
Namu Amida Butsu. Namu Amida Butsu. Namu Amida Butsu. Namu Amida Butsu. Namu Amida Butsu.